scripture reading this morning already through the lighting of the Advent candle, but if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we'll be referring back to that throughout the message today. Mary, the shepherds, and Bethlehem. Unlikely people in an unlikely place. As we consider Christmas and we consider the birth of the Christ child, very often we'll see something similar to this, something that is an attempt at a representation of where Jesus may have been born. I think most everyone understands that there is a humbleness about this picture. There's also a humbleness with Mary and the shepherds. And we know that. But I want us to maybe go more in depth in really looking at that big picture, at looking at God's plan, realizing that while we can see at times the example of something like this, or you may see a live nativity, there was purpose and planning more than just the event when it was there, but all that was leading up to that. Who Mary was, who the shepherds were, what Bethlehem represented. I want us to grasp that in a way that it's going to impact us, that it comes from over 2,000 years at the time that it actually happened and settles in our heart in a way that it changes. That's what I want us to spend time focusing on this morning. Lord, as we come to your scripture, as we reflect on the birth of your Son during this Advent season, as we prepare our hearts to receive him, help us to do so in a very genuine, sincere way, in a way that acknowledges what you desire with the birth of your Son. Lord, speak to us today. Through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is assumed to have been 12 to 13 years old when the angel Gabriel appeared to her. She had recently been engaged to Joseph. By all accounts, she was an ordinary Jewish girl. It was not as though she had grown up in an educated home where she understood all the theological ramifications of what a baby Messiah would be. Just the opposite. Mary could not comprehend what the angel was saying to her. She was likely afraid and confused. And I ask you, is this the type of person you would have chosen to be the mother of Jesus? It really wasn't a likely choice. The carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, is appropriately named. Bethlehem was truly a humble, little, and seemingly insignificant little town prior to Jesus' birth. You would think the Christ child would have been born in a large, well-known city like Jerusalem in a luxurious 5-star hotel. Bethlehem was not the likely choice of the place for Jesus to be born. But the pregnant mother Mary and Joseph found only this place with one star, not five. And that was the star provided by God himself. But God's plan was at work at this place, even before the birth of the Christ child. In Hebrew, the word Bethlehem is translated house of bread. If we think about this, and if we jump forward to years into Jesus' ministry, I'd like to share with you the relevance of the name of Bethlehem being the house of bread. For Jesus said in John chapter 6, beginning with verse 32, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So Mary was the unlikely mother. Bethlehem was the unlikely place. All throughout Scripture, Jesus is referred to as the bread of life, we just mentioned. But not only this, but Bethlehem was known for being not very much either. In fact, you know what it was known for? It's sheep. The baaing of sheep was probably the most common noise heard in this sleepy little town, no pun intended. The area was inhabited by common people who spent many of their cold nights alone watching over sheep, protecting them from wild animals and keeping them from getting lost. Shepherds would separate out the firstborn male lambs of the flock and drive them to Jerusalem, where they would be purchased and used to make sacrificial atonement for sin. So you see the depth of the meaning there? And just in case you don't, if we go to the beginning of Jesus' ministry, John said, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Do you see the connection? It wasn't supposed to be somebody like Mary, according to what other people think. Although they knew a Messiah was coming, they knew that there was scripture, there was prophetic scripture about Bethlehem, but they still were going to struggle to see Bethlehem as being this important place because it never had been. And then the shepherds, the people that were there and a part of Bethlehem, they really weren't significant. They weren't expected to play that kind of part in the story. In our humanity, God did not want us to miss the truth. He didn't want us to miss the meaning, the big picture of the birth of the Christ child. If Jesus had been born in a palace in Jerusalem to a wealthy princess and announced by the highest religious rulers of the day, we could not have understood and related to Christ or to God in the same way that we do today. I want us to embrace the experience of Advent in our hearts today in a way that God presented it the first Christmas. First, experience the unexpected. Mary did not expect the announcement of the angel, although it was predicted in Scripture. Bethlehem, as I said, was not really expected to be a place for a king to be born. And surely the shepherds did not expect to be among the first to hear the news of the birth. God wants you and I, just as much as Mary, just as much as the shepherds, to experience the unexpected this season. Don't limit yourself to what you can comprehend. Open your heart, soul, and mind to the bigness of God's plan. God wants to do amazing and wonderful things in our life, and He is about that. But there are times that we don't accept it because we can't comprehend it, and we try to understand it in our own humanity, because we haven't opened ourselves up to God-sized dreams. Secondly, humble yourself. What exactly is humility? What is humbleness? Humility is not beating yourself up or feeling you're worthless. Being humble means setting aside pride and arrogance. Both Mary and the shepherds are examples of humility. What they experienced was overwhelming, but they accepted their role with honor, realizing it was about something much bigger than themselves. Being humble is the realization that alone you're inadequate, but with Christ, all things are possible. Being humble enables God to use you in a powerful way, a way that you can't be used without Him. As your pastor, as your friend, I pray you will experience such power through humility this season. Thirdly, be forever changed. Do you think Mary, the shepherds, or even the town of Bethlehem went back to the way it was after experiencing the Christ child? Absolutely not. No way. It would be impossible to do so. When we experience the presence of Christ, it changes us forever. And I want to elaborate on this. I don't mean just when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is the biggest decision. That is the biggest change. That is the most important thing that can and ever will happen in your life. But it doesn't stop there. Because when God is a part of your life, you experience Christ. When you've given your life over to Christ and accepted the Holy Spirit as a part of the gift that God gives you when you've asked Him into your life, you are changed over and over and over again every day. That's why you can't be the same person today that you were yesterday, and you can't be the same person tomorrow that you are today, because God is at work in our lives. And God changes us, and God changes us forever if we allow it. I encourage you to experience the unexpected, to humble yourself, and embrace a profound change in your life, in yourself, this season. Woodland, as I mentioned in the announcements, has chosen to really emphasize Lottie Moon Christmas offering this year. And it's something that Southern Baptist churches all over the United States contribute to. And together, we come together and we give money to help spread the Word of God, particularly to people that don't know who God is. We're going to see a video clip in just a minute, and you see where some of that money goes, but while that's a small portion of what the reason I wanted you to see it, it connects to what we're talking about today. The person that you're going to see in this video is living a life he never expected. And he had to be very humble in order to do this. And it has truly changed his life forever. God desires that for each one of us. So I want you to see this as an example of today, of how God works and does all of those things in our lives. And as you watch this, be open to how God may be moving in your life.
How can I make sure that what I do as a physician demonstrates the love of God and the mercy of God and the hope of God? From an early point in my childhood, I can remember watching the first moon landing on a black and white TV and thinking, I want to do that job. So I just pursued that. And then was able to get into an aerospace medicine residency program to work for NASA as a flight surgeon, providing health care for the astronauts and their families. It really was a dream come true. But in many ways, my identity was not as a follower of Jesus Christ, but my identity had become, I'm a flight surgeon working for NASA. I really didn't think that I would leave NASA. God said, you need to make a choice. It was in our living room. I'm saying to God, this job is cool, but I don't need it. I need you. Whatever you want to do, I'm ready.
When he finally came to me and told me that this is what he felt called to do, I just said, I've been waiting.
God moved us to the country of Uganda, where we served for 12 and a half years. From there, moved south to Lesotho. And then God brought us to Kigoma Baptist Hospital, where we've been serving for the last 7 years. In western Tanzania. It literally is at the end of the road, because we're right on the Lake Tanganyika. God has placed us in an area that is predominantly Islamic. Healthcare in our part of the world, there is a great limitation on resources that are available. We have patients that are admitted with severe malaria, dysentery. Every year we have an outbreak of cholera. We don't have the adequate numbers of resources and personnel on the field to be able to meet all the needs.
But we have partnerships with a number of different churches and on various levels.
When a church comes in and partners with us to provide that kind of care, it literally changes the people's lives, both physically but also spiritually. Using healthcare strategies is like a key that opens the door to get into a village that we might not have access to. Not far outside of the town that we live in is a small village.
Completely unreached on the fringes of town.
We met with local leaders and we asked permission to come to that village and do a week-long medical dental eye clinic. And through that opportunity, God used that to start a new church plant.
That village has been a huge impact.
Growing in their faith in Jesus Christ and being discipled. Just this past week, one person came and repented and said, "No, I need this Jesus." The kingdom of light is coming in Tanzania, bursting through the darkness like we've never seen before.
Where is your identity? I think you can understand how it would be very easy for this guy to have lived his entire rest of his life, his identity being a doctor for NASA. That's a pretty cool thing to be able to talk about to you guys. But it's not the most important. And if it wasn't for his identity being in Christ, he could have lived a good life. He could have done a lot of Christian things. But he never would have gone to those countries and done those things and gone from no doubt being very successful in almost every term you could see it in our world to go into a place where, from what I understand, he now has to depend on others for his well-being. Where is your identity? It should not be in our jobs. It should not be in our family. It should not be anywhere other than Christ. But when we put it in Christ, then those other things have new meaning. So I invite you this Advent season to expect the unexpected, to be willing to give yourself humbly to God, and to be willing to be changed forever, because that's what God wants to do. But in order for it to happen, you have to claim your identity in Christ. God has to be more important to you than anything else for those things to happen in the way God desired them to. That is the reason that I believe we studied today and we talked about Bethlehem being an insignificant place. We talked about Mary not being the type of person you would have expected to be the mom. We talked about the shepherds who so many people thought weren't even fit to be a part of Jesus' life. That same God that planned it that way has a plan for your life that others probably don't understand. Claim your identity today. Invite our praise team to come. Lord, I would ask that as we go into this Christmas season, it isn't just about another holiday. It isn't just about doing what we do around the Christmas tree and eating the food and opening the presents again. But Lord, I pray that our lives will be changed, that each and every person in this room will experience some type of change. If they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray that today you will nudge them in such a way that they have to make a move, that they will become so uncomfortable that they know something has to change. And Lord, if they're hearing that right now and they know that's a part of it, Lord, I will be standing here and I'll be happy to pray with them and talk to them. But Lord, there's so many of us who've already made that decision, but we've settled into a routine and we aren't about allowing you to change our lives every day. Help us to be shaken up as well. Help us to be able to be moved in such a way that others see our identity in Christ, that we make decisions that to others may not make sense, but to you it's following your will and it's living our lives to the fullest in the way that you can bless us and make this life what you intended it to be. This prayer we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.